Austin, Texas. We've got Mike there. Hey, Mike, go ahead.
Hey, George, I've wanted to tell you this story for a long time. This is a guardian angel story.
Okay.
I was in the military in Germany, and one of my best friends died 2 weeks before his wedding. And it really broke me up, and I was driving home in my car, and I said, man, if anybody could be my guardian angel, I would want you to be my guardian angel. Because he was a perfect Christian right before he died. He wanted to convert to Christianity to marry his wife, who was a pastor's daughter. And he got killed like 2 weeks before his wedding. It broke my heart. He was a great guy. And when I went to Germany or Somalia, we were escorting some new troops around Mogadishu, and I had a really bad feeling about turning down this street. And we pulled around. I kicked the driver, and I said, don't go down this street, man. Something's up. I got a really bad feeling, and there's no one on the street. So he said, they stopped the vehicle, and we pulled around the city, and we went to the airport the long way around Mogadishu, and we heard a giant explosion. And I was a 60 gunner. I was a military policeman. I was a 60 gunner on top of the vehicle. And they got into a firefight. The vehicle that was head of the convoy ran over a tank mine.
Oh.
And that Humvee was the one that was right behind us. Anyway, the 60 gunner was wounded, and he was taken to the hospital. And his name was Mike Pearson, and my name's Mike. And he died there on the table. Years later, I was at a party at New Year's, and a girl that I know who has certain psychic abilities,
mm-hmm.
she came up to me, and she's like, Mike, somebody wants to talk to you. Do you know a guy named Josh Vohringer? And I just stopped dead in my tracks, and I was like, yeah, that's a friend of mine that died in Germany. And she said, well, he wants to talk to you. He wants you to know that he's been your guardian angel since you asked him at his funeral. He's been with you every single day.
Oh, my God.
And do you remember that time when you were hiking in Germany and you were about to jump off that cliff and something stopped you? And during this time period, when it stopped me, I saw a flash of light. And my friend that was next to me was a total atheist. And he said, I saw something there, Mike. I don't know what it was, but you bounced off of it. And I broke a bottle. That was the first time he saved me. The second time was in Mogadishu. She said, do you remember when you were in Mogadishu and you had that really bad feeling and you didn't turn down that street and those other soldiers were killed? And I said, yeah. He was there telling you not to go down that street. And she knew stuff about, like, his fiance and I hung out after he passed away because we were good friends. And, you know, she knew all this stuff that there's no way she could ever have known that. Because I never talked to anybody about that death.
Just remarkable.
But after, you know, when he died, I lost faith in God. And then when she told me that, you know, he was my guardian angel, you know, my faith in God came back. But it just blew my mind, you know. And so I just want people to know that people don't die after death.
You're a living testimony to that, Michael.
And I've wanted to call you so many times, but I could never get through. And what's funny is I'm at a crossroads right now, and it's Friday the 13th, and I got through on your line. So it's not bad luck for me, I guess.
Not bad at all. Thanks for the story. That's great.
All right,
man. Yeah. All right. That really is something. Indianapolis, Indiana. It's Ron's turn on the wild card line. Hi, Ron. Good morning.
Hi there, George. Hey. I wanted to tell you one about, I think, guardian angels also. Back in the 1960s, I was trying to think and what to buy my parents for their wedding anniversary. I mean, my family was they never did want for anything, but they weren't affluent or anything. And I thought, well, what the heck can I get mom and dad that they don't already have? And I thought, well, I know they both like to watch ice skating shows on TV. So I got them tickets to the ice capades or whatever, one of the ice shows out at the Coliseum here in Indianapolis. And so the next year, when I was getting close to time to by their, see, their wedding anniversary is on Halloween. And they, when it was getting close to time to buy, you know, to get another present for them, I thought, well, heck, you know, I'd come downstairs and mom didn't know I was coming down. And she was talking, I think she was talking to my grandmother, and she said that that was really one of the best gifts they had ever had, was going out there to the, because it was a perfect seating. I mean, you know, they were in the center of the ice rink, and they were just high enough that they were, you know, weren't right down on the floor, and they were high enough that they could see from end to end and still see the expression on the skaters' faces and all
that. That's great. Yeah, because sometimes you can be too close, you know it?
Yeah, oh, yeah. Well, but so she said, I heard her talking to some, I forget who it was. She was saying something about her and her, my dad were ready to go out for Halloween. And I said, no, don't do that. I said, I'm getting tickets at the same place for the ice show again. And she says, oh, honey, don't do that. Said, because Helen and Max want to go out with us. And I said, well, okay. And so I thought, I'll just surprise the heck out of them. I'll go buy tickets for the whole bunch, her and Helen and Max and my dad. And I got over to, you know, to where I was going to buy the tickets, and tickets in that area just were not available anymore. Well, I forget what I went ahead and got my parents for their wedding anniversary, but I'm darn glad I didn't get them tickets to the ice show at that particular spot that year, because that was the year the Coliseum blew up.
Oh,
they had those propane tanks blew up underneath and they would have been right in the center of that explosion. I said, well, by golly, God does step in and stop you from doing things once in a while.
Yeah, it really does. And you pinch yourself trying to figure out how and why. And maybe sometimes you just don't have to do that anymore. You just let it happen. That's a remarkable story.